Well, this week's parsha is an exciting moment. Parsha Bamidbar, the beginning of a new sefer, which is always very exciting. Obviously, that's when you see the hot button, you see the gap in the sefer Torah where it's now starting a whole new parsha, a whole new sefer. Is it always exciting? Bamidbar for all of us. No, it's not just me. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I should go see help. But I'm excited when I see that happen. Bamidbar is a parsha that always comes right before. Not always the right, but Shabbos is something Shabbos, we have another one before him, but right before Shavuos. And it also happens to be, as a yeshiva bachar, it often comes before the end of the year, like right before the end of the year, which sometimes the two overlap quicker. This time it's pretty quick, those two. Shavuos and the end of the year, sometimes a little longer. I want to talk about a little bit what the takeaway we can make from this parsha, from Matan Torah, that we're leaving the year, make sure we have the right Kabbalah Torah. We're about to have our own Kabbalah Torah. Every person has Kabbalah Torah about a week and a half from now. So are we leaving with the proper Kabbalah Torah that we have and using this parsha as like our model for that? There are three attitudes that one could have regarding learning of Torah. Three, at least if you're in yeshiva. It's a burden, I don't want to do it. It's a burden, I think it's right, so I will try my hardest to do it. It's a passion. Three levels. Very few people come in with level number three at the beginning. Very few. Most people are either one or two. It's a burden, and I don't want to do it. I'm here because this is the year to experience this event, but I'm not interested in doing it, but I'll do enough to lay low, under the radar a little bit. People come in and be like, no, I know it's not, I'm not into it right now, but I think it's important, I don't like it. And then you have people, some people can grow from different stages over the course of the year, over the course of life, where it begins to become a bit of passion.
What about people who like it for the wrong reasons, like an intellectual pursuit?
Okay. What is that? So that's like a whole separate category of people who are looking at it as like a subject, or like a Sudoku puzzle, or a math class. But again, it could become a passion for them as far as learning goes. It could be like they're excited to do Sudoku or Wordle. It's a mystery. It's like it could be a passion also in that way. Those are three different levels. When you're here in Israel, in yeshiva, the differences there are nuanced. Meaning, there are people who never grow out of stage number one. They're always burdened, don't want to do it. That happens. People who grow from stage one to stage two, where it's always a burden, but they're going to try because they think it's right to do it. That's probably many people. Maybe most of many yeshivas, certainly ours. Then you have those people that actually love learning. If they had free time, they would actually like to learn. Not, I'm not saying better than playing ball or not. But you know what? Both are very enjoyable to them. That's a different level. Here, if you looked around and you guessed at first, you might be right for many of them, you might be wrong, but you'll know a lot more 5 years from now. Because if you are coming in as a burden and I don't want to do it, even when you're in yeshiva here, you probably do it anyways because you have a level of like, again, most people, I have to be, I'm in yeshiva, I have a rabbi, I like my rabbi at least, my chabur's waiting for me, I guess I'll come. So I don't want to do it, but 5 years later, that guy's is not, he doesn't have to anymore. He's not in the yeshiva setting anymore. Where he turns out, versus the second person, who says, it's a burden, I don't like it, but I believe it's important to me. I think most people in life who feel number two, they try very hard to gut it out. They do. But even they oftentimes will fall off. They will. Because it's only a certain point in time, you're in yeshiva anyways, so you know what's right to do, so you'll do it. But once you have a family, you have a career, so that means I have to go to for sure. But learning, if you don't have a passion, then it's very hard to stay in learning down the line when you have other things that are important to do also. Everyone agrees that family is very important. Having the kids is important. Job is important. So I have no time left for it. And you know what? You can sleep at night and not have a problem with that. Here in yeshiva, you would have a problem sleeping at night, hopefully, if you wasted your day and didn't learn it all. Because it's a burden. But I know I should be doing it. So it's hard for me to look at my day and be like, gosh, should I do anything today even? When you get older, it's not hard. It's not hard anymore. Because I have a lot of things I'm doing anyways that are productive. I have a job, productive. I have a family, I'm spending time, productive. I daven every day, productive. I'm a good Jew for all those reasons. Learning, maybe the rabbi gives a shir once a week I go to, maybe. Maybe I stay in for the drush or the rabbi gives on Shabbos. The difference between two and three when you're in yeshiva is negligible. When you leave yeshiva is humongous. It's humongous. Now, how in the world do I get to a passion? How do you control my feelings towards something? So, I want to start with just a good approach on that from this week's Parsha. This week's Parsha, we are introduced to something called the Degalim. A Degel is literally means
flags.
We had this unique encampment we did around the Midbar for 40 years, where we had like four groups of tribes, three tribes in each group, and they had their own flags. And it's brought down in Chazal that they saw this unique formation at Matan Torah by the angels. Apparently the angels came down, they were given a vision of the angels in Degalim form, and therefore when we later on became, and Bnei Israel saw it, they were envious. Wow! When can we break up into Degalim form? That's what the Medrash says. Okay. Happens to be that we just do it the first time right now, this Parsha. The Emes Yaakov, Rav Kamensky, asked the question, why was this the first moment we went to our Degalim form? Why not when we first saw the angels in that form? So he says the following point, which is so important, and it's so important for everyone in this room and really everyone in life, is that until we had something we were all centered around, we would not be able to be different and respect each other. We couldn't. The question was asked just now about a person's mahalik in life. It's hard to respect someone that you fully don't get at all. I appreciate where you're coming from. I don't agree, but I appreciate it. Because it's normal. It's a normal reaction. It's normal. It's a fully normal reaction. That makes no sense to me, that guy. But Yaakov brings out, he says, until you had it in our room that everyone was surrounding, if you had different colors, different flags, that what you have is that it's me versus you. We look at life as me versus that person. We're different. Even when you have these sporting events, you have people who, you know, they live in different towns they're born in. Their dad like different teams. They come to a game, people kill each other. In soccer matches in the world, it's violence. You kill each other. For what? Because he likes that. How did that happen? Because there's a competition. And it brings out sometimes the worst in people. In religion, to look at a person, how he dresses, what kippah he wears, what shirt he wears, what community he's part of, that in theory can create tremendous division. In America, I don't know about Hong Kong, maybe in Hong Kong also, but in America, it's not like that as badly. It's not. In Israel, it is like the probably, I don't want to talk about, but Jews in Israel, it is the area that is so sad that we have a lot to learn from, which learn from you guys. If I would drive by, I would see at a rest stop in the middle of Delaware, I see a guy with a kippah on. I'm like, one place like nothing. Like, gotcha. He's wearing a hat. I don't know, it's okay. I see a little, sitting stream. How you doing? How you doing?
You got
good. He's got a bagel, right? He's got the locks. And, whatever it is. And you're like, you feel like, yeah. Here, what are you bringing? What kind of keep is that in your head? Now again, it's different, obviously, because there's so few of us there comparatively. Different. But nevertheless, there's a level of like feeling a brotherhood of boys. But in Israel, it's not like that at all. Why? Because we have such frustrations. But the reason why is we have such passion. In America, not so much passion. So you don't care if people are different than you. It doesn't matter. Yeah, good for you. Good for him. Everyone, good for everybody. Because you don't care about things enough to care that the person not doing the way you want them to do it. Because we're all just in it enough to appreciate it. I wish we could take the behavior, but with the attitude we have in Israel, where everything is such a passionate fight. We're going to have a Yom Yerushalayim celebration coming up soon. On Sunday. There are some people who are so adamantly against it. Some people who are so passionately for it. That's not even as bad as a matzvut, where it's even like extreme, much more than that even. Some so against, some so for. Where does it come from? It comes from the fact that you actually care about it. You have a level of passion. When someone gets a bad shot in Tosos, okay, whatever, I don't care. If you really cared about it, someone had a bad call, bad take, you would be so bothered by it. If you care about something, something you care about. We say by Har Sinai, Ki ishecha b'levecha, we're mamish like we're one. It says, v'yichan sham, we count like we're one. Again, I'll use sports as an example. If you ever got into a game, which we all sure have in some way, there's a guy you never met before in your life, and you guys are best, and your team scores a goal, hits a big game-winning shot. Whoa! I'll slap him on five. You don't know the guy in a hole. You know each other. You're the most different people in the world for each other. but you experienced something, you had a shared passion. That this team just won and we both like that team. That's what happened with the Aron. The Aron was a source of shared passion. The Torah is around us. You can be different than me. And we all have our own flags. It's not my flag. But because we shared a common passion, everything is okay. We could be different, and now we have respect for differences. That's the approach that we had when we had the Torah around us. Unfortunately, that's few and far between nowadays. In America, because we don't have passion. And in Israel, because we forgot that we all are fighting for the same team. We forgot about it. It requires us to go through trauma to be on the same team. You have someone who has, like, you know, an air raid siren all running around. You help anyone. You help anyone who's there. It doesn't matter. Jew, from, not from, Haredi, Zioni, doesn't matter. Everyone's on the same team. That we're all running away from someone else. When we're walking together, we should have passion also. Everyone's different. And that's something that with Torah there, we should be embracing that. I think the way to get to a passion, as you hear right now, a level of passion, hopefully, is to have Seder. Seder means that you know what to do, when to do it, and you're there to do it. Shlomo Zalman Orbach was asked one time, how did you become the Gadol HaDor? Shlomo Zalman answered, I don't know if I am or not, but all I did was I was supposed to do. When I was supposed to be a doctor, I was a doctor. Supposed to be learning, I was learning. So eating, I was eating. With my family, I was my family. I did everything I was supposed to do. That's it. That's obvious. You show up. You show up. You're supposed to show up. You're there. You're supposed to be there. When you're not there, as Avi spoke about so beautifully last night, someone is going to suffer for you not being there. As obvious as your chavrusa, of course. But also the guy sitting next to the table, who doesn't have the feeling, the vibe. How many times I looked around this event with you guys, like, where's everyone right now? Now, it shouldn't affect you. It shouldn't. It shouldn't affect you, but it does. If you do what you're supposed to do and don't get affected by things, then you become great. There are people, sport players, athletes in college, who have pregame routine that's always the same routine. They always have the fried chicken before they pitch. Well, Michael Jordan, who, you know, the famous, he always wore the George North Carolina shorts under his jersey. Right? Everyone has their own routine. But that's a pregame routine. That gets you into the game routine. When you go through a day and you don't have commitment to yourself, then you will not ever be ready to have that day be the top of its day. You won't. Because you weren't ready. If you have a bad night's sleep, it's going to be hard for you to function the next day. It's just ABCs of life. You can try once or twice, you'll notice it yourself. You don't have to, it's not a chiddush. So then the key is then have a good night's sleep. Then you have a good day probably. Not necessarily, but probably. But it's almost impossible to have a good day if you don't have a good night's sleep. Pre-game routine. That's what's demanded from someone who wants to feel strongly about something eventually. To have a passion, you have to be at the right place at the right time and prepare yourself for that moment, as obvious about yesterday. You have to respect other people besides yourself. You have to be not limited to your own two cents, your own limited understanding of life. That's where jealousy is where it comes in. You're not jealous of the guy next to you. You're having fun with him. You're not jealous about that. I don't care what he has or what you have. No one cares. Why are you jealous of each other? Maybe a nice crowd he does. Because no one cares. You're in the game. You're cheering for the same team right now. It doesn't matter what you have after the game's over. Until you get the game's over. In case, then it matters. But if you're always in the game, then you're honking your horns of your respective cars on the way home. You to your mansion. Him to his shack. You know, he's got this cheap car. You have your Lexus or your Tesla. You're honking the same team, so no one cares what car you're driving. Why aren't we on the same team? Why is there jealousy? Why is there not that passion? Because you don't believe in this enough. Because you think this is a blip on your screen that you're going back to later on something else, and that's what life's all about. And you couldn't be further from the truth. You could be. When people understand, and I repeat, it's a flaw in Israel that we have so much passion. It's a flaw in that it leads to what it leads to. But when you have no passion, and you had a good day, you didn't have a good day. Doesn't matter you either way. You learn well, you didn't learn well. You bottle, didn't bottle. It's the same, it's just a day. When you have that attitude, then we're doomed. We're doomed. Because while you're here, you're going through the motions. It's good. Right, whether you're person number two or number three, it's okay because you're still trying to be here. But 5 years from now, you're a different person. And all the things that you had in mind that you were hoping for, they fall off because it was never there. The first place was never really there. So I want to end off with a final point. Rav Schwab points out that a Levi is counted, you know, the count of every person, a Levi is counted at 30 days. At 30 days, we start counting how many Levim there were. Why 30? Everyone else is not that young. Says Rav Schwab, the reason why is because when your family were the ones who said, Mila Shem Elai, then for 30 days spent with them, you can pretty much guarantee they're going to be fine at the end. Because they grew up with someone who was passionate. When for 30 days, old, a little infant, but his parents are those who sacrificed and stayed strong when it mattered, that kid is safe. Because he grew up with a passion and a commitment. Moshe Feinstein has told a story, told a few times already, I think even this year maybe. When you have people in life, and I mentioned someone over here mentioned that I think their grandfather was one of the kid people that fit the story that Moshe told over. That every person, when they moved from Europe to America, was fired on every single Shabbos because there was not a thing to skip out of Shabbos. Some of those next generation children stayed strong, and just some didn't. What was the big difference? Moshe Feinstein said the following. Some people, when they get fired, they looked at Shabbos like, ugh, Shabbos. Ugh, minion. Ugh, learning. They do it, they're supposed to. They do it, they don't like it. So their kid looks up like, Shabbos is an ugh. Minion is an ugh. Learning is an ugh. I don't want an ugh in my life. And the other people, you know what they did? Their sukkah was filled with their dismissal notes. They hung on their walls. Fired from this job for not reporting on Saturday. They would hang them on their wall of their sukkah as next to the Rebbe that they would admire. It was this opportunity to demonstrate a passion. If you do not have a passion, maybe now you'll be fine, college will make it through, but later on, slowly but surely, it's not a part of your life anymore. And there's no guarantee that your kids anymore are going to feel anything. As the non-Levim's children had to wait until we knew what they were like. But if you have a passion, and we're all centered on the same Torah, and you respect everyone's differences, I respect your differences. Not only respect, I appreciate your difference. I'm happy you're different than I am. Because I know that deep down, we're all cheering the same game for the same team, which is the Kadosh Baruch Hu in the world. The Torah is a center, and every flag is around it, trying to just play their role for someone else. When you have that attitude, then you have great hope in life. You have great hope. We should be zocha, we should merit to have a perspective on life where there's no jealousies, where you appreciate every person's greatness for what they are, and you have a passion, and we cheer for each other together, Mitzvah Shem, for the rest of this year, which is a week and a little bit more. Cheer for each other. Root for each other. Don't call each other out. I mean, do call each other out for the right reasons, but not just for the sake of doing it. Do it because you want someone to go to Matan Torah with. I need you by my side. Join me for it. But not some, because there are competition different than we are, which we zocha to have a better attitude and perspective and be those people who are passionate not only now but for the rest of our lives. Have a good Shabbos.